Walk up. Walk up.
Hi, and welcome to this special edition of Between the Rows. I'm your host, Lisa Gunther. This week, I'm bringing you a few highlights from Ag Emotions Livestock Days at Langham, Saskatchewan. Dry pastures may be causing key vitamin and mineral deficiencies in your cattle. Dr. John Campbell will tell us what to watch for and how to fix it.
Vitamin A is all derived from beta carotene, which is part of the green plant. So around Saskatoon, at least, we've had almost no rain since June, and we know that there's not much green stuff left out there.
There's no doubt this widespread drought has ratcheted up stress levels for farmers and ranchers. How can we recognize and manage stress? Cynthia Beck shares some tips.
One thing that's really important to keep in mind with chronic stress is that it has implications for our mental health and our physical health. If we experience that chronic stress long term without kind of getting it checked.
But first, Jolie Vermette shares her passion for working cattle with stock dogs.
And so we're at the Ag Emotion Livestock Days today, and you're competing in the stock dog trials on horseback. So just tell me a little bit about that event.
Yeah, well, the event is a team sport. You have your dog and your horse, and we work our way through a course of obstacles. Usually three head is what we work. Sometimes we'll work five head, usually yearlings. And there's set obstacles that you have to maneuver your cows through each obstacle with your dog. It's a team effort between you and your horse and dog and yourself.
Most handlers use similar commands to direct the dog.
Come by.
Come by sends the dog clockwise around the herd. Away means counterclockwise. Down or lie down stops the dog. Walk up.
Walk up.
Encourages the dog to approach the cattle.
Walk up!
Pressuring them to move.
And so to me that seems like there's more moving parts than the even the ground-based riderless stock dog trial. So what does it take to get everyone working together in this event?
Yeah, I think for us, I mean, we do this a lot because it's our livelihood in a way at home. So, I mean, a lot of what we do every day is on a horse with a dog.
Walk up. Walk up.
Shh, shh, shh. And we actually started competing in the trial world horseback before we ever did any foot stuff where you stand and are not mounted. So the mounted stuff for us was kind of just natural, but it definitely, you know, being a team effort, you can ride anywhere and utilize your horse as much as your dog. So I have to adjust from when I work foot at a trial to then remembering that I can use my horse and move and not think that my dog just has to do it all. But a well-trained dog and a well-trained horse, you know, you're able to cover twice as much ground and usually convince the cows even quicker and nicer that they need to move the direction you want them.
So what is it that you love about this event? Because really you're kind of, like you said, it's sort of replicating what you do at home, which is, I guess, work in a way, but obviously something you have a passion for. So
it definitely has become a passion for both myself and my husband. The dogs are just so keen and they will lay their lives on the line for you. And to have a partner willing to do that, I've always been a horse kid growing up and always rode through my whole life and appreciated the handiness of a horse and the relationship between yourself and the horse and how stock responds to a horse and a dog. And yeah, it's the competitive end of it has definitely bit us and kind of become a little bit of an addiction.
So for someone who's interested in this sport but hasn't dipped their toe in yet, how can they get started?
You know, I think if you are using dogs and have horses, it's a friendly group. Reach out to somebody. The Canadian Cattle Dog Association has a good website. If you can find somebody to kind of help you get started. We do run novice classes in the foot trials, which is a nice way to get started. trialing. Horseback, we all compete against each other, so it'll be novice handlers mixed right in with the open handlers. There's resources out there. Just reach out to somebody because it is a fun group. And most of us are very practical cattlemen that are just here having fun and doing our thing that we normally do at home.
Anything else you want to add?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, like I say, I just marvel at what the dogs are capable of doing. And when you think about an animal that is so small compared to an animal that's so large, and how a good dog can manipulate the movements of that very large cow or bull, and all they expect is to be fed every night, and they elate your feet and love you no matter what, and they will work 10 times harder than any person. So I think for me, just the relationship between my dogs and myself, and knowing that they're so willing.
Great. Well, thank you very much, and good luck this afternoon.
Thanks, Lisa.
That was Jolie Vermette of Rafter View Ranch and Ranch Dog Inc. For more information on stock dog trials, visit www.canadiancattledog.ca. With widespread drought this summer, it's been a year of grim headlines for farmers.
You see aerial photos of farms and they look like the Sahara Desert. It's terrible.
I'm here in Arnis, Manitoba, roughly 100 kilometers north of Winnipeg, where it's currently 33 degrees out.
It's been a summer of extreme heat, little rain, and now this. Grasshoppers, a lot of them, eating away at his crops.
It's been challenging, I guess, would be a good way to put it.
25% to half of our cow herd is just going to disappear with the drought that we're in and the feed scenario that we're in.
After weeks of scorching heat and little rain, baked pasture grass is nearly gone, and in some cases, water has dried up or become toxic to thirsty animals.
Managing a farm business is one thing, but how do you manage all the stress that comes with it, especially in a year like this? Cynthia Beck, farmer and clinical psychology master's candidate, shares her insights.
Okay, just to start with, could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Cynthia Beck. I am a clinical psychology master's candidate at the University of Regina. I'm also a mixed farm operator. I farm with my husband and his family. I'm a parent. I do suicide intervention response. So just like many other producers that are out there, I wear multiple hats depending on the day.
And so we're at the Ag in Motion Livestock Days, and you were talking about mental health. And one thing that struck me was, as part of your presentation, was sort of the difference between chronic versus acute stress. So just tell us a little bit about that.
The differences between chronic and acute stress are actually really important. Chronic stress is the stress that many producers are experiencing right now, and that is the long-term stress that's lasting, like from spring to summer pastures drying up to harvest. So chronic stress stretches out over a time frame. Acute stress is something when we are imminently in danger. Right? So if you were in a car accident, that would be acute stress. So your body responds really quickly and then recovers a little more quickly than it would when you were experiencing chronic stress.
And so I think probably a lot of people are experiencing chronic stress, especially this summer, given the drought. What are some ways to mitigate that or just deal with that?
One thing that's really important to keep in mind with chronic stress is that it has implications for our mental health and our physical health if we experience that chronic stress long term without kind of getting it checked or trying to mitigate it, just like you said. So part of the way to do that is, number one, recognize that you've been experiencing stress for a long time. So are you sleeping? Well, chances are if you are experiencing chronic stress, you are worrying, you may be experiencing anxiety, and you're probably not sleeping. also with chronic stress, quite often as farm producers, we stick our nose to the ground and we work through that problem. Well, when we do that, we make ourselves less of a priority. So to mitigate that chronic stress, it's really important to make sure that you are doing the basic things that your body needs. Sleeping, eating, like fuel your body the same way that you would fuel up your machinery. Make sure that you are hydrating your body. Your tractor runs out of gas, leaves you stranded in the hayfield. Well, so will your body if you're not fueling it properly or hydrating it properly. Another thing that's important to keep in mind is that at some point we need to disengage from that stress. Think of it as an electric fencer. If you were to hang on to an electric fencer long term, eventually it becomes too much for your body to handle. And that's the same way with chronic stress. If we don't find a way to disengage, like turn off social media, turn off the TV, turn off radio, and go do something that is not farm related. And I'm not saying it has to be for a week's vacation in Mexico or anything, but be realistic. Go have a coffee with a neighbor. Go play a round of golf. It doesn't matter, but you need to disengage from the stress. And in order to do that, it's important to disengage from the environment where you are experiencing that stress.
And how can people know when they maybe need some kind of medical intervention, whether that might be medication or counseling or just whatever?
A lot of times we don't realize that we are struggling to the extent that we're struggling until we've reached that critical crisis point where we kind of almost feel like we are snapping or we're shutting down, right? So I encourage people to, if you're struggling or you are having a hard time regulating yourself and managing the stress, then go talk to someone, talk to a friend, talk to a neighbor, talk to a family member, phone the farm stress line, depending on where you live, or Canadian Mental Health Association has lots of resources online. So sometimes we don't have the ability to recognize that we are experiencing that difficulty when we are in the middle of it. So we need to rely on other people to help us with that. Also, we can be that person who kind of points out to the person or reflects to the person saying, hey, how are you doing? Let's go for a coffee.
Great. Thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to add today?
I just encourage everyone to take care of themselves out there. For ranchers and farmers, we are experiencing a lot of stress right now. And please make yourself as much a priority as you do your farm or your work.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Cynthia Beck on the grounds of Ag in Motion's Livestock Days near Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. For more mental health resources, visit Canadian Mental Health at www.cmha.ca. Do More Ag also has a list of resources at www.domore.ag. It's not a farm show without speakers covering practical production topics. From forage options to water sampling, there was plenty of learning to be done at Ag in Motion's Livestock Days. As ranchers pull their herds off summer pasture, they need to be aware that drought can mean vitamin and mineral deficiencies in cows. Dr. John Campbell joined us to talk about two deficiencies to watch for this fall and what to do about it.
Okay, I'll just get you to introduce yourself, John.
Yep, I'm John Campbell. I am a faculty member at the Western College of Veterinary Medicine, University of Saskatchewan, beef veterinarian.
So, and as people are bringing their herds off pasture this fall with the dry conditions, I guess one of the things that you mentioned we should be looking at is copper deficiencies. So could you talk about that a bit?
Sure. It's actually the most common deficiency we see across Western Canada in terms of trace minerals. Close to 50% of cows are close to deficient in some of the studies we've done. And the interesting thing about drought years is, especially in those areas where high sulfate water and sulfate feeds occur, we see that sulfates bind copper. So it can make a problem that's already significant even worse.
And so if producers suspect that they may have a copper deficiency based on previous years and or just conditions this year, what should they do about it?
Well, they want to address it through this fall and winter season as best they can. It's when we have more control over our trace mineral program, and we want to make sure those cows are in good copper levels prior to breeding next year. So you can do a couple things. You can test your cows. Your veterinarian can take some blood samples and look at the copper levels. It'll tell us for sure if they're deficient or not. And then you could think about, the best way to supplement those cows. If you can force feed it, we know that that's a much better approach. I know that's not always logistically possible in our extended grazing seasons and things like that, but if it is a possibility, and it might be this year because we're feeding different things this year and we may be dry lotting more cows, then for sure try to force feed the trace mineral. The other thing to think about is maybe making sure your trace mineral and salt are combined, because the salt drives intake a little bit, and monitor the intakes as well, and make sure that your cows are eating trace mineral.
So another thing you mentioned was vitamin A deficiencies might be a little bit more common this year with the drought. So just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, vitamin A is a pretty important fat-soluble vitamin that's important for immune function and for reproduction and a number of other things. For eyesight, we know deficiencies cause blindness as well. And vitamin A is all derived from beta-carotene, which is part of the green plant. So around Saskatoon, at least, we've had almost no rain since June, and we know that there's not much green stuff left out there. So, and to top it off, cows are going to be on stored feeds longer this year than before other years, and so they're highly likely to be quite deficient in vitamin A. The newborn calf is really reliant on the mother to give them vitamin A, so it all comes through the colostrum to the newborn calf. So we've got to make sure that both our cows and our calves coming off pasture probably get supplemented with vitamin A, probably consider giving some injectable stuff to improve them right away, and then making sure that they have a vitamin A supplement in the ration of some sort or in the trace mineral mix that you have.
Anything else you want to add, John, that producers should know about?
Well, we know that calves born that are deficient in vitamin A, they're about three times more likely to die, so it's a pretty important trace vitamin that we gotta make sure cows are adequate for, and really this fall and winter period is the only time we have to deal with that. We got so many challenges with drought this year. This is just one other to add on top of it, but making sure that those cows have adequate vitamins and trace minerals is probably pretty important this fall and winter.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
That was Dr. John Campbell with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine. For more drought coverage, visit Glacier Farm Media's site, The Dry Times, at www.farmmedia.com/thedrytimes. That's all for this special edition of Between the Rows, coming to you from Ag Emotions Livestock Days at Langham, Saskatchewan. Remember that you can find us on YouTube by searching Between the Rows or on your favorite podcast player. I'm Lisa Gunther. Thanks for joining me today, and take care out there.